This sounds awful. In garbage.
Talking trash.
You know, we've also had some inquiries from Columbia County, and they heard what we're doing, and
interesting.
I don't know whether it's going to come to fruition or not, but they may want to talk to us also. So there are a lot of possibilities.
Great. Well, we really appreciate you coming in, and then do we have a motion?
We haven't made a motion
for executive session. We need 23 yet.
I'll make a motion. Go out of executive.
We did that.
Okay.
Sorry. For
Res 23?
For reappointing.
Yes.
I'll make a motion.
And I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Just grateful for Fred. I know he's been a long time advocate on this subject, and just grateful he's willing to take this on again. So.
And thank you for coming, taking the time to come in tonight.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
And we vote to...
I guess we just moved it. All in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Fred, thanks a million.
Okay, thank you. Everyone have a good evening.
You too.
Okay, so then we're doing...
We'd like to do 87 and the next two go together.
87 and 95?
And 95.
Okay.
Because they are... And we have Ken Fidel here, and Amanda Lavelle has joined us.
Okay, so Resolution 87, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Lime Energy Company Department of the Environment. To move it?
I'll move on.
Second?
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Hi.
You got to let her explain that she came all the way to
That's
the
right. Yeah. Come join us. There we go. Then we can get you out of here.
How are you?
How are you?
Brad, do you know Amanda?
Yes, we've met, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay. This is about the line energy.
Right, so one. there's two. They're a little bit, the cart is a little bit before the horse, if you kind of think about it that way. The second resolution is to execute the grant agreement, 97, with NYSERDA, between the county and NYSERDA. And this is basically...
Oh, 95.
Okay. Yes, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to make sure it was
95.
In the right place.
This executes the grant agreement between the county and NYSERDA, the New York State Energy and Research Development Authority. And this is basically the county's prize for being a clean energy community and being the first. We were the first in the state, but we got a $250,000 prize because we were a large community in the Mid-Hudson, and we got one of two $250,000 grants for that. They are no-match grants, which is great.
Yeah.
And they also are grants that allow us up to 25% of the grant amount up front before. So it's not completely a reimbursement grant, which is another
is
kind
helpful.
Of nice feature. So this was we were the first clean energy community in the state. We got a $250,000 prize. This is the grant agreement that allows us to access that money. We chose to focus on the Ulster County Law Enforcement Center because that one building, as far as a utility or energy consumption cost center, is about 40% of our utility costs are for operating not just the correction side but also the administrative side. And that's about $1 million a year when you consider electricity and fuel oil. So it's a very large, substantial, and energy.
Is it out of the ordinary, the consumption, the current energy consumption in that building?
So we've actually been looking at some of the benchmarking, and it's not for the square footage, but a considerable amount of the square footage of that building is administrative, is office. So we haven't really parsed it out as far as the square footage of the jail versus the square footage of the office. If you look at it overall for a jail, and that's how you benchmark it, is to the type of building, it comes out pretty standard.
Okay.
But it's 277,000 square feet, so it's a very, very large building.
24/7.
Yep, 24/7. So as far as being really effective, we decided to focus on lighting kind of right off the bat, because we've done some, like, this building is all LED tubes, and in the administrative side of the jail, we had already done a retrofit, no cost, actually. Central Hudson footed the bill for that entire retrofit. We've also done exterior lighting at the jail. We've done the warehouse lighting. We've done the rec yards. But we haven't done the corridors, interior, and the pods of the correction side of the facility. So Resolution 87 would allow us to execute a contract with Lime Energy, who's a sole source provider under the Central Hudson lighting program, to do the LED conversion for the correction side of the facility. So we would be spending $207,000 of the $250,000 on the lighting. And that's going to save us approximately somewhere over $90,000 a year is the estimate from Lime right off the bat in lighting costs.
$1 million in 10 years. It's amazing.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Without any...
Right,
by
right, because it's yeah. it's NYSERDA to funded.
Now they provide the materials and it's yes. comprehensive construction
yep.
contract.
Yep. Yeah,
yeah. Brian, when we did this building, mm-hmm. it was so simple. They literally came here and worked floor by floor and just replaced
yep.
everything, and we had no role in it.
Just yep.
it's
all done. Why don't we move Resolution 95 now right. so we can discuss both of them at the same
okay.
time?
I'm on.
Second.
Okay.
So just so I understand, the $250,000 says professional services, mm-hmm. but $207,000 is actual
right.
capital improvement.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we will the it's like the first action item. So we need to set up the capital. As part of executing the grant, $250,000, we decided to just create a line for professional services. The first outlay is going to be the lighting project, so that's $207,000, so that's right away. And then we're going to be working on focusing on EV, kind of electric vehicles, more implementation there. So it may end up being a slightly different line for the rest, but... Anyway, it's the same amount of money because it's going to be it's the nicer of money.
This is wonderful, really.
We'd explored a lot of really creative things to do with this money at the jail, but this was such a home run.
Yeah,
it just warranted. You know, why are we messing around with some really creative things when you know something really bread and butter like
something
fixing
big,
the lights
yeah.
has a
big.
Huge impact to taxpayers.
And we're going to take a hard look to it to make sure that things are not. Overlit, that they're not mm-hmm. brighter than they need to be, mm-hmm. Because it's kind of the, you know, so we've pulled some of the guidance, the standards for correctional facilities, for lighting, to make sure that we'll be able to work with Lime, and we're getting some language into the contract so that we'll be able to actually have pre and post measurements, because part of being more efficient about your lighting is making sure if you have like a ballast that has four tubes and you only need three now to get the correct amount of light, let's not even use that fourth tube. So we're also trying to be very cognizant of that.
And Lime will also dispose of the equipment
yes.
they're replacing?
Yes. So that was that's a big thing with fluorescent tubes
mm-hmm. yeah.
because they're not easy to properly, they're universal waste, and it's not cheap or easy to make sure you dispose of them, and that's something that's in all the contracts.
And when do we think Lime can... I guess
right.
they still have to finalize the contract, but then...
Right. So, yep. So the schedule is the legislative approval of the NYSERDA revenue contract. We execute that. Then it gets sent to NYSERDA. They have to execute that. Mm-hmm. And then once that's in place, you know, we can route and execute the Lime contract. So I'm hoping that it's not, you know, early summer. You know, it's just a paperwork shuffle because it's so clearly in our benefit to just do that as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'll also, you know, also mention too for the committee, you know, the law enforcement center is not under the view of the executive branch. so it requires the sheriff's participation, and he's been terrific. I mean, we every time we come to him with an environmental initiative that we think has a cost savings, he's there every time. He really rolls out the red carpet for us. We again, he's worked with Amanda on composting and some more creative things we're doing over there, and he's been terrific.
Just well, obviously, he'll ring security and all
that. Right, and we've already had to do lots of different walkthroughs, you know, and get the lime contractor into the correctional side of the house there, which is a little, there's a few more hoops.
And it'll be an issue as they're doing the work.
Yes, and it, actually, this, you know, the life. The expected life, you know, span of an LED tube versus a fluorescent tube is like 20 years. So everybody there is pretty excited that an outside contractor will come in because the ballasts are all tamper resistant. So they're not like these that are open. You know, they have a like guard through the back, and then you know it's not easy to get at the lamp itself. So the contractor comes in, is going to do all that, replace the bulbs, and then the bulbs should be good.
So less frequent changing in and out.
Yeah,
of the
20 years unless there's like a problem, unless they're defective. So that's great as far as a maintenance side also.
And security of the whole thing too, yeah.
Is there,
without a doubt.
Like a warranty on the work and everything?
Yeah, there's, yes.
Yeah. This is really exciting.
Congratulations.
And just also, you know, in addition to the cost savings, the county right now uses just a little over 12 million kilowatt hours a year, and it's anticipated that this project alone will shave somewhere around 750,000 kilowatt hours off that. So it's like an 8% reduction just from lighting in the jail.
Win-win everywhere.
Yeah, it's a big, we're excited to get it moving.
And in your folders is also the Green Fleet report we got
last week.
The committee got, well, we just sent it out again last week, but the committee had gotten a full report from Amanda in the Environmental Committee last year. Brian wasn't here then, though. And
I think I came to that meeting. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And it's a little more.
Got away.
It kind of has.
With the year-end details?
The year-end details for the charging stations and the cars, which is, I think, what we discussed at that committee meeting. But it also has the full picture for 2017 as far as diesel and unleaded use, so fuel use for the vehicles. So if folks have any questions about that, I'm happy to answer those as well.
Let's vote on number 95 first. So all in favor?
Oh, favor.
Aye?
Yes, aye.
Okay. Passed unanimously. Okay, and so let's vote on resolution number 87. All in favor? Aye?
Aye.
Okay. Passed unanimously. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to mention, I think, about your business, too, but since Amanda's here, we're a couple of weeks away from energizing our new solar system up on the town of Ulster landfill. It's an amazing setup. It's over 8 acres of solar.
It looks really cool.
Yeah,
doesn't it look like
vents
around it and everything?
We can't go up there right now because it's all snow and rain and everything, but, you know, I know we're going to have some kind of an event when we, you know, throw the switch. We'll invite everyone to that, but, maybe if you want to do like a solar session, we could arrange to go up there, and especially when it's a lighter out later, and actually go up there and take a look and see some of the components. Because it's real. I don't think there's anything quite like it, you know, around here. I mean, it's pretty large.
That's fascinating.
It actually gives you some scale because there are other much larger solar systems on the betting board on docket. For example, Sovereignty has a 25 meg system. This is a 2 meg system. So you're going
to
see how huge this is, and then understand the scale of it.
Scale of the other, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff.
Wait till it shows up on Google Earth.
Yeah.
You'll be able to.
Are outsiders permitted to ask questions in this committee?
Not you. It's up to the chairman. Not usually, but it's up to you.
Sure.
Thank you. I have two questions. My first is, where is this energy going to go? I've noticed the solar panels are so beautiful, and where is it going to be used?
Here.
And
it also offsets our government's energy.
It's the government energy. My other question is, did anybody do a cost analysis of this $207,000 contract? the cost? Like, for example, how many light bulbs does that include? And did anybody consider the possibility of having those light bulbs installed at a lesser price?
Yes.
It's like, I can tell you the exact number. It's about 2,000, it's about 2,500 light bulbs. We are using a turnkey contractor on energy through Central Hudson. So Central Hudson is actually paying.
These are jail lights. These are things within the jail are hardened. So
it's not $1,000.
It's not
less than $100.
Right, but then these are much. These are not what you should get.
Okay.
Is that what this listing is in the contract?
Yes. The every single light bulb, where it is, mm-hmm. its watts, what it's going to be, what's there now, and what it's going to be replaced with is in the contract. We're able to use, 2,505 is the count. And we're going through a lighting program with Central Hudson. So Central Hudson went out to bid, and they selected a vendor, from a series of different vendors that they've already procured. Like, they've already gone through a competitive process to get Lime Energy. And what they do is they come in, they do the analysis, and based on exactly the energy savings, Central Hudson actually picks up a considerable part of the overall project cost. So the county share, which we are going to be using grant money to pay, so it's not county tax dollars to pay it, is $207,000. But there's an additional probably $150,000 that Central Hudson is paying through this program. So we don't believe we'd be able to do that work, in a secure facility with how much work it takes to get at the actual bulbs. But it wouldn't be that competitive.
Thank you, Amanda.
This is really excellent.
No, it's documentation. It's physically, that's how they do it. They did several walkthroughs. They go basically room to room.
Doesn't seem like that long ago that we were pushing for compact fluorescence. But the LEDs really, the compact fluorescence have the toxicity component that the LEDs don't. So, and they're so much more efficient.
And the light rendering is actually, like, I like to work under the LED lamps.
Well, I work at City Hall purchasing, and I don't have a window in my office. I'm all fluorescent. And right now, currently in my office, there's four fluorescent tubes that light my office. Mm-hmm. Two of them are out, and they keep saying, "You want us to change that?" I said, "No, leave it just the way it is, because right. the lighting is just is so much better."
It glares.
I think it's probably something. By the way, I'm taking notes, Amanda, for my day job.
I think they're pursuing this. I know they've already been through.
Yeah, I know they talked about it.
So, Yep.
And I'd like to comment on the Green Fleet report. I know others have noted this before, but I love it every time I see that the 2017 current percent of green vehicles in the fleet has, put us over our year 2020 goal. Yeah. And I just thank the Department of Environment, and we're really proud that we're doing that, and want to see us.
We
managed around
the executive office
by big percentages.
Yeah. Do you have a hybrid?
No. I almost did.
I was just curious because that was really fun driving.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I want to get I drove a hybrid and decided I wanted an all electric, and so that'll be my next car.
Yeah, the committee got to take a ride a couple months ago already. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Let's see, what else was in the fleet report?
Also a lot more charging usage, I see.
Charging usage has picked up, for sure.
Are there any projections on where that could go?
Like,
it's a space in, like between now and, say, 2020?
In general, they're really trying to, from a state level, in a lot of different ways, like, push on the levers and get things in motion to get people actually buying more electric cars. So there's been, like, the NYSERDA rebate on top of it. So we'll see if the federal tax credit sticks around, because that's a lot of money for an all-electric vehicle. It's $7,500 for the federal tax credit. And then you can put $2,000 from NYSERDA on top of it. And there's more and more models on the market. So I think we're going to see it. One of the things that we're kind of is exciting that's in the end of the Green Fleet report is that we have the City of Schenectady just put in an application to NYSERDA for a grant along with support from a company called Energetics.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to look at how to deploy charging stations in municipalities. And they also want to look at how to deploy plug-in hybrids and electric vehicles in municipal fleets. So we are partnering with them on that application, and they'll be using our experience and our data in order to inform recommendations for the state. And it will also give us some very good feedback as we see that usage come up and up, and they're still currently complimentary charging. But as we see that usage come up, we'll have some real kind of powerhouse, analysis of and recommendations for, where we should be going forward as far as where the stations are, how they're being used, if and when to start charging for charging, how to do it in a way that promotes kind of like turnover so that we can get them open and they can get used by a lot of people so cars aren't just sitting there. So I'm excited about that because I think it's a very informed way to go forward. So we'll really have, we'll build on the experience and where we've come in the last 2 years or 2.5 years, but really have data and real recommendations to inform, any kind of policy going forward. So
last year you talked with the committee about perhaps a policy for charge station parking.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think, for me that's like, it's not anecdotal. Mm-hmm. Like, it will be like a real analysis with some the people who are doing this across the country, like using our data. So
we're in the vanguard, huh?
Yeah, this is a pretty there's a lot of meat in this report. It's it's 15 pages. It'd be great. I encourage you guys to read it, and I think the most concise way to capture it is if you look at some of the charts, you'll see how it's not incremental increases in efficiency that the plug-in hybrids and the battery electric vehicles or even the hybrids are getting in the fleet. We're doubling kind of the average, doubling, tripling, even more so what was kind of the standard passenger car 20 miles per gallon. On the low end, we're getting 40. We're other times we're getting 80 easily and up from there. So it's not, the Green Fleet vehicles aren't like an incremental improvement. They are like 2 and 3 times better.
A couple leaps.
Yeah. It's kind of major stuff as far as the passenger fleet goes. So,
you get such good mileage that sometimes you forget to put gas in if you have a hybrid.
Unintended consequences.
And I ran out of gas a few days ago on the thruway and easily got to a Stewart's, got some gas. But in the meantime, an officer pulled up and had to give me a ticket for leaving my car on the side of the road on the thruway. And he said, how much do you get? And I said, I get 50 to 100 miles per gallon, depending on where I am in the electric vehicle charging cycle. And you could see he just, like, perked up. And so for every one of these mm-hmm. vehicles, and when I'm at the charging station, mm-hmm. people who have never thought about it before come up and ask. So we just have to be sure that we're installing as much mm-hmm. solar, and we are, yep. you know, to compensate for the term now, the term of art is beneficial electrification. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard that before, but it has to do with electric vehicles and also heat pumps. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. And there's two graphs in towards the back of the report, so I don't actually have them in this copy. So if I can just... Okay, so this is electric vehicle stuff more particularly, but this guy... Sorry, I tried to label everything because it was like, oh my gosh, we're just kind of gone...
Look with her.
Gone a little wonky, but it was... okay, so actually on page 6, chart 2... okay, page 6. So chart 2 is on the top half of the page. So this is by department average MPG. And what we've done is parse out the green fleet vehicles and put them in green. So you can start to see a rather trend that departments that have green fleet vehicles, and the green fleet vehicles are just that much more efficient. And then the second chart on the same page, chart 3, is by class. You know, really we're only using passenger vehicles. That's what we're deploying. But you can even see there that the last blue bar is passenger vehicles, and they're right about 20 miles per gallon for the entire fleet of passenger vehicles, and that's 91 different vehicles. And then here are our hybrids, our plug-in hybrids, and our battery electric. So it's not like just a little bit. You know, this is a pretty significant gain as far as efficiency. And then the last one, I'll just, since we're here, I'll explain it on page 8, chart 4. What you're looking at is a bar chart. So the bar chart is blue for gas, how much gas each one of the green fleet vehicles has used. The green is like an electrical usage gallons equivalent. So, you know, and that's going to be the cars that are driven more are going to be higher in this regard because they just need more energy to go further. But the black line is the efficiency of the vehicle in miles per gallon. So you see, as you move from the left to the right, mm-hmm. it ticks up. Mm-hmm. So even though we didn't drive our Leaf a lot and we only used a little bit of electricity, its efficiency is up around 120 miles per gallon equivalent.
Now, the Leaf is all electric, right?
It is.
So you're just comparing it as if it were...
Correct. Yep. We use some EPA mm-hmm. Kind of conversions mm-hmm. So we can even put it in a chart like this.
This is a way to compare them, mm-hmm. right?
It's tough to compare.
Yep.
No, I was... Yeah.
But that's the same. Like, the Volt has a much larger battery than the mm-hmm. Ford Fusion Energy. So you can see there that they're running off of the electric more. So that green part of the stack is a greater proportion. And also the overall MPGe, which is the line part of this, mm-hmm. is higher. So as the battery gets bigger and they can run off more electric more of the time, the overall efficiency increases. And that's what you see left to right in that trend. Isn't that... I love that graph. And what makes me happy.
And we also have Resolution 97 setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 8 of 2018, a local law amending local law 6 of 2014, mm-hmm. to improve and strengthen the Sustainable Energy Loan Program, to be held on Tuesday, April 10th, 2018 at 6:20 p.m. So, someone want to move it? Second?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Where are we here?
It's resolution 97. I'm sorry.
We were out of order. Cause
but it's regarding a proposed local law.
Yeah, aid, I got
so
it.
It's just right in front of there.
Did Ken leave or is he?
I think he had to go to another meeting.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to say that I am, even though I'm a sponsor, I am not an expert on this. I have been meaning to call Mark Thielking from Energize to really understand the difference between the law we passed 2 years ago and now. Mm-hmm. But apparently part of the difference is that it can be in the improvement, for example, a solar system could be on an adjacent parcel. It doesn't have to be on the parcel that is the base for the tax base. You know, that's, and, you know, I'm a sponsor and I really apologize for not being able to be more specific about the differences. I think if I between can, the storms and
Amanda,
I'm still
no,
a little
Amanda.
Bit disoriented.
No, it's my understanding also that, and I don't know the percentages, but there was some kind of, here it is. That the funding couldn't, that the financing made to the qualified property owner
okay,
shall
I
not
see the
exceed the lesser of 10%.
Changes are in bold, so that
helps. I think there was a percentage of the appraised value of the property, so the improvement couldn't be more than 10% of the appraised property, the appraised value, and I think they were going to change that too. That was, they haven't closed as many deals under this law, under this financing mechanisms as they would like to. And that has been a hurdle, so they're trying to, you know,
right.
make it more reachable
yeah,
for
a
lot
of things I remember
right.
back then that
right.
I had thought, oh, and then
right.
I was like, oh,
and
that
they've had,
work.
Like, for example, like 20 or 40 inquiries from Ulster County, and they've closed 2 deals. So that's not a lot.
No. No. Well, anyway, this is for a public hearing. So.
Yes. And I'll be better prepared. Actually, I would like to see if they can send somebody from Energize to the public hearing to answer questions so it doesn't put us on the spot. Since it's really
which is
their
what they
program.
Did last time, right?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a whole presentation, but just availability
yeah.
to answer
yeah.
questions.
Usually at the public hearing, people can't ask questions, but we had them make presentations at the caucuses. At the
okay.
public hearing,
oh, right,
we can't
right,
have
right,
a
right.
Q&A.
Right,
okay.
right.
That's so
true.
We could grant them privilege of the floor so they could make a brief statement, and they could be available after the public hearing
to answer questions. So they should really send 2 people. Okay. And I will be much better briefed. I really apologize. The weather has
on.
Me a bit I thrown. I don't know about others, but...
It does. I don't even know what day of the week it is. And we have a new meeting night, too. So I'm totally mixed up. So, okay, so we'll call a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, passed unanimously. Thank you, Amanda.
So that's for the public hearing.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Have a good night. Okay. So, I might have mixed this up. This whole
yeah, then we have the 2 soil and water, and then I think
then
we have
we'll
the
then
2
we'll do the plastic bags.
I'm going
to call you or something
yeah.
just about accepting an introduction to as part of this. So we'll
Yeah. It's funny, I put some of those LED light bulbs in my house, and I was reading that they're like 20-year life on them. So I'm up on the ladder putting the light bulbs in, and my daughter walked in. I said, you know, this is probably the last time we have to change this light bulb. you know. And she says, I said, because the last 20 years, she says, oh, Mom, I think you'll live more than 20 years. I said, yeah, but 20 years from now, I'm not going to be climbing up on a ladder.
That's true.
That's true.
I actually
had
to one guy after about 6 months. I have allergies and all.
I have trouble with them myself, but I think it's me. Oh. Okay, resolution number 75, reappointing members to the Soil and Water Conservation Board.
I'll move.
I'll second.
So the legislative representatives are Tracy Bartels and James DeLong.
Mm-hmm.
So any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, unanimous. Thank you. Okay. And reappointing a member to the Soil and Water Conservation Board, number resolution 76. And it's William Wilco.
Yep.
Highland, New York. Do we have any discussion?
We've got to move it.
Oh, sorry, we got to move it.
Second. Moved.
Second.
Thank you, Paul. Any discussion?
No. He's been on there for a while. I know he's a respected member.
Okay, so all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay.
Have we tabled or postponed 61 and 120?
We're going to that right now.
Okay.
So,
Dave specifically asked us.
Dave asked us to postpone it. So, we'll have somebody move it.
I would like to move that because I just don't. The idea of two competing resolutions. They need to get together and create a resolution.
That makes sense.
So we need a first and a second on postponing it?
Yeah, just as you're going to... Your motion is to postpone both of them.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
So it's moved by Green and seconded by Walton?
Yeah.
That does make sense.
And all in favor? Aye.
Yeah. So we'll just...
And we have resolution 120 setting a...
That's the second one.
That's the second one. So we'll postpone
both
of them. We'll postpone both of them. And, we
do nothing.
And I look forward to finally giving a Climate Smart Committee report because I was pulled away last time.
Yeah. I just want to discuss the plastic bag thing really quick.
Okay. Sorry.
And then we'll do that. No, that's fine. So, I was thinking since this was a major thing, we might want to appoint a subcommittee to work on a plastic bag specifically. So, I don't know if you would like to be on that or who would like to be on that.
I think you should be.
But I just think it's too big an issue to do in a meeting.
Did Tracy indicate before she went to Alaska whether she wanted to be on it?
I have to confirm with her.
Yeah, I imagine she would.
No, I'd have to. I imagine she would. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure she definitely
seems
would.
Logical.
Because she was talking about meeting, trying to meet with Dave.
Yeah. So, thank you.
So do we have to? So you can form a subcommittee. Just put Tracy on it. I don't know who else you want to put on it.
Is that something we could put on the agenda for next meeting? Maybe we'll have the other two members of our committee here.
Yeah.
Then. Excuse me. I will not be here in April, Mayor. I'm traveling.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
I'm traveling April 5th.
So we'll definitely put him on it since he's.
That's how it goes, right?
The committee, right?
But, yeah.
So, yeah. Would you be interested in being in the subcommittee or
not? I'd have to really
think
about that.
That's fine.
I'd have to consider
you can get back
that.
To me.
I mean, it is important.
Yeah, so if you put more than two people of this committee, then you have to, then you've got a quorum of the committee. So you can only put two people from this committee on it.
Okay.
So see who Tracy,
Tracy, and then we can
see who else wants to do it.
Since Dave's putting in.
From this committee, but he could also be on it, right?
If he's willing to be on it,
we can invite him. Because he has put forward a resolution,
so
maybe they could blend their ideas.
Yeah, because there's so much, it's so huge, it's just really too much to do here without overshadowing all the other things we have on our plate.
One other consideration is that there's movement at the state level to develop a law. And it may be that whatever we are trying to do will be preempted. And I understand that might come out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So
we have the big state report on it that they looked at last month. So
it's really interesting, you know, and it's really, I got a chance to look at it, not totally detailed, but just the difference between, like, just the cost of the bag went from, like, 5 cents to a dollar a bag. I mean, it was just, like, extreme. Like, some of the stuff is really extreme and, you know, finding the balance of what...
The state will probably want to do it with their budget.
What will work. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they take care of it, we're not going to have to... One less thing we have to worry about.
Yeah. And if, even if they don't completely take care of it, we may not be able to, depending upon how they write the law.
Oh, that's true, too. That's true,
too. Which is what I worry about more, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but they don't do it right.
So I think it's good to have the subcommittee and have an idea of what we want and then measure whatever the state does against that.
Mm-hmm. Also, the committee had asked for us to get prices on reusable bags. Mm-hmm. So I have some prices on that.
Okay.
If we decide at some point you want to go ahead with, like, we were talking about, like, having a contest of school kids, mm-hmm. you know.
Designing the bags. So when we rolled it out, we would... Mm. Be giving out some bags to promote it.
And I know when we've done things like the calendar and things in the past, it's been really popular. And the educational component of the issue, you know, could address that. And if we would maybe get our ducks in a row over the summer when kids come back to school in the fall, maybe we could introduce that at the elementary or the middle school or high school level.
Back to school present.
Yeah, that would be nice, yeah. That's good. Now,
one thing I've started doing, it occurred to me, actually, we had dinner at a diner not too long ago and took home yet another aluminum pie tin, you know, or takeout container. And I have now made it a policy that when I'm going into a restaurant, I bring my own takeout container and I scrape it into my container that I reuse over and over
now,
again.
The aluminum can't be recycled?
It can be recycled. But does it really get recycled?
Well,
it should, because there's so much invested energy. Aluminum to the bauxite and all the transportation and the processing and milling and it should, but it means that people have to wash it out. It really has to be clean. And
I run through mine through the dishwasher, but I don't know if changing the color on it messes up any.
No.
I don't think it does. I think it's...
I usually run most of it through the dishwasher. It's just...
Yeah, but it, you know...
I'm
just starting to practice reuse, because we're going to have to. There's going to be more and more... If you call ahead, they're already going to, for takeout, they're going to put it in a container. And some of the containers are nice, sort of a cardboardy, compostable. And I think the health food stores, you're seeing that more and more. But the plastic and aluminum, I have enough plastic containers, you know, to serve an army. And I don't even recycle them. I just stack them up in nice little piles. But I just decided I'm going to start reusing them. I've learned to take the plastic bag in when I go shopping, but I haven't, this is a new step, and it was just one aluminum takeout container too many. The plastic is a real problem, but aluminum has so much embodied energy, and that's why they started the cans so long ago, because that's a really valuable resource. Anyway, thank you for bearing with me.
I went to get takeout the other night, and I brought my own reusable bag for them to put it in. And I said to them, don't put it in a bag. I brought my own bag. And they put it in a plastic bag in
your
bag.
Yeah.
I just cleaned my plate. I don't have to deal with
that. See, I try to eat half and then half.
Well, look at me now.
Bring you with us.
So now we can have your climate smart report.
Thank you. I felt badly because I had to go to Public Works last time. One thing I want to bring up before I go over, we have some very ambitious goals for this year, which I think are in
everybody's packet.
But I'd like to also point out, Kathy, I didn't have a chance to double back with you, but there are two vacancies on the Climate Smart Committee, which reports to this committee. One, we have a candidate for Pat Courtney Strong has resigned, and that's a business position, and a gentleman named Miles Kretchen is interested in that position, has put in an application. But we still need a representative either from Energy and Environment or from Public Works. And
well, we need one from each committee. So you are the representative of Energy and Environment, so now we need somebody from Public
Works. Okay. Or I could be the representative from Public Works, and somebody else could from Energy and Environment. But have you made a decision yet?
Well, I would prefer, I have two additional committees outside of the standing committees that I'm serving on. So if there is somebody who is willing to do that, it would help me not to have to be there to constitute a quorum.
Okay.
But I plan to attend a lot of the committee meetings, and so I can do it. But if there's somebody from either this committee or Public Works who would like to do it, I think that would be good, and it would expand our capacity.
When do you need to know that by? When is that?
Well, we've been holding off making final decisions until we had a complete committee for this year. So the sooner the better.
And when do they meet?
They meet the fourth Monday of the month at 7 o'clock here. And, I mean, we could presumably get a fourth and get a fifth the following month. But I just wanted to make you aware that there is a vacancy, and however we fill it, I'm sure will work. I don't know if either of you folks have an interest in.
I would maybe have an interest, but I don't have a meeting that night.
Yeah. Brian, is that of interest to you at all?
Well,
I know you have a lot of committees, too.
I know, and two other boards. I'd have to look. Man, could I contact you offline and
We can talk about it.
Do that. I just don't have any. I didn't bring any of my calendars or anything with me, and
when is that meeting you invited us to?
Is the 15th, and I would.
Okay.
I would like it to be that everyone.
I have a library.
Okay, great. We had a presentation on Monday evening at Rough Draft in Kingston, and it was filled to the gills. Amanda was there and, a few others. It's really an amazing presentation.
Oh, and it's right here?
And it's here in Chambers.
Oh, great.
So, and I believe that, Pat Courtney is going to be on the panel. Tom Kakandis, who worked on the Bread Alone project and the Ryan Insurance project. Steve Noble is going to be on the panel, and we're looking for a couple more. And as soon as we have the panel defined, we'll send out one final invitation. But I'd really like to fill the chambers. And this is for all elected officials. So if you want to invite folks from Saugerties or Kingston, it's not just for the legislature, and it's also for Climate Smart Committee people, and it's open to the public. So I think it's going to be an amazing evening. I've heard four presentations, and I'm not bored yet. And, they're all very similar, but each time I kind of pick up another idea. And what is really excellent about this particular presenter is that he is an actor. He lives in Stone Ridge. He travels all over the country. And so he's able to communicate in a way that is very powerful, and he intersperses humor and hope. So you're getting this somewhat devastating information, but he focuses as much on solutions as the problem. And a lot of times, climate smart presentations are, you come out of it feeling hopeless. And he doesn't allow that to happen. And I don't think it is hopeless. I think, you know, some of the things that we're doing are really going to make a difference. Which brings me to the second point, and that is our goals. One of our goals is to fill in the gaps. Legislator Nolan is going to be working with Hardenberg and Denning, and we've made partners for all of the communities that are not yet climate smart. Saugerties is, Kingston is.
It's there. Here. Oh, I was sure it was in your packet.
So the first goal lists those who are and those who are not yet. The second, and then we have very specific action steps, how to address these seven goals. And we're really going to be working on the first three right now. In the second half of the year, we'll address the others. The second goal is a green business challenge to get 100 businesses to undertake an energy retrofit, which could be changing out lighting, it could be changing out an HVAC system, it could be insulation and air sealing. We've added to this, and I haven't changed it on here, to install a solar system, buy an electric vehicle, install an electric charging station, or buy 100% renewable energy that's locally generated from a community solar, or there's also a hydro company that is local.
May I ask, when you brought up locally generated, I think in my mind, is that just to save on transmission of this energy, or does that, why it's important to have a local?
To have it local? It's that, but also, because there are losses in transmission, so it's a little less efficient for the for the installation. But the other reason is resilience. If you have, the more we install solar with battery backup, and this doesn't require it, it encourages it, you start having outages like we're experiencing right now, and you can island off and promote resilience. You can have more resilient communities. You can do it individually, at a business, at a hospital, and you can do it through a microgrid. So it's a way of, plus it promotes local business, local jobs, so that's why, and there's nothing wrong with buying 100% renewable energy off the grid, but essentially you're buying what they call renewable energy credits, which is the positive attribute of those systems, but that system could be anywhere. So it is supporting a shift to a renewable energy economy, but we're trying to promote more right here in the county.
Okay. And can I ask also, the these retrofits, does the committee encourage the use of performance contracting to like help businesses like maybe analyze, you know, what their uses are, where their weaknesses are, what's the quote-unquote low-hanging fruit that they can...
Yeah. We haven't yet defined it. The steps are going to be, and we're meeting, I believe, on the 19th, a subcommittee is meeting to flush this out and create a handout, and we'll have input from the Department of Energy, from Economic Development, and from different committee members and different experts who have offered to help us. So we have a handout to give to a business. The second step will be to do a training for anyone who wants, but we're going to focus on these climate smart committees all over the county who are meeting and doing good things. But if we have a countywide initiative and they get trained to answer a business's questions, then we can fan out, and if they go to 3 or 4 or 5 businesses and we train 20 or 30 people to do this, we actually could achieve this goal. And we're, the chamber has expressed interest, the Rotary has expressed interest. So this is, you know, because then we're really having an impact, a measurable either increase in generation or decrease in energy consumption that at the end of the year we can report off. And this will add to all the work that Department of Energy is already doing on this. And we had a meeting, and we're all coordinating and working together. So I just, you know, wanted to be sure you guys knew as part of this committee. The third goal we're already meeting, and that's to have this presentation on the 15th. It said early in the year, February or March, so we're meeting that goal. The fourth one, Department of Energy is developing a climate action plan. So in a draft form, we'll have an opportunity to have input, and then we'll be finding ways to support that climate action plan. And then I'm going to hold off on the others unless you want to discuss it, because I think this is going to take us 6 months to really get this. But if we don't do it soon, we won't have enough months left in the year to achieve the first two goals. So that's why we're focusing on that. Thank you for bearing with me, but we've been really active. I just felt that after the floods that we saw and the hurricanes and the fires, that we have to start seeing real results. Not that we're not seeing results. I think that the departments have made real progress, but
room for more.
I think the businesses are the low-hanging fruit. And, you know, the departments have good staff but limited staff. And if we can find a way, like a multiplier effect, to, and it's also going to give the climate smart people all over the county something really tangible to be working on. I feel like we've made good progress over the last couple of years, but we've done more talking than action, and this has got to be a year for action. So I'm very excited, and thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, we'll talk, and we'll get back to you and let you know, and it could also be somebody else from Public Works. You know, and I think, is this in everybody's folder as well?
You had asked for it last month, so
yeah.
Somebody asked for it last month, so the list of all the laws that, that had some, and policies, had something to do with the climate or energy or the environment. Of them weren't really, didn't come through energy and environment.
In Public Works, we're trying to figure out how to utilize this as somewhat of a checklist, so that when, you know, I feel like I've served on Public Works for 4 years, and I feel like they know that I've got, you know, energy efficiency or green stormwater infrastructure, you know, across my forehead. But I don't want to always ask. I would like it to get to the point where, as we're going over the capital projects, they're saying this is how this meets these sustainability policies that are already in place. And so we're having a discussion. We don't want to make it be anything that's onerous, but it's really kind of just putting the responsibility for reporting about this with Public Works, with the department, rather than me sounding like a broken record and a few others. So
maybe you and I could go through this at some point, because there's some of these that are relevant to
That's
Public
right.
Works, and some of them are not.
Yeah.
And some of them might be more relevant to energy and the environment. I'm thinking, for example, I guess in 2011, resolution number 159, requiring that certain publications be printed on at least 30% recycled content paper. There may be somebody who knows that we may be doing 100% or 50%, you know, and but these are, it is nice to check back every once in a while.
Or even like what Tim said last month about the paper mills not really having difficulty with recycled paper because the glass fibers, the product is contaminated and it's damaging their machines in the paper mills. Because they put with the single stream, the glass fibers get mixed in with the paper and it's been, you know, it's been causing damage to
which is really another good advertisement for keeping it separate.
Also, green cleaning products in county facilities. So maybe we could look at parsing these out and seeing if different committees would kind of take ownership of seeing how we're doing on these various things that we've said we wanted to accomplish.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
So we'll just kind of keep you posted because it's a lot of this really rests in Public Works, but it relates to energy and the environment.
I thought that was the list you were, you know, pretty much looking for a start.
Yeah. I think you put this together for us.
I did not put it together. I think Jay put that together at Manna's request last year.
Which one?
That list of the laws of the policies.
Jay Mahler did.
Yeah.
Really helpful.
And I knew I had seen it, so I just went back in, and then I looked at what laws we passed last year to see if there was any additions. But
oh, I see.
Didn't see anything there.
This was for, for Public Works, but Jay had been working on government efficiency and review, so she had all that list, and she just went through to see which had to do with environment or energy.
It was
or
pretty general. Like you say, some are environmental, some are Public Works.
Okay, do we have any other old business?
Well, other than what we talked last month of looking to get our resolutions in electronic form, we had a little discussion on that.
The pads are
and it looks like we are ready.
Yeah.
So something, I guess we talked about having our committee take some action on it, but it looks like we've accelerated past that. So
yeah, I think if they're not here, they'll be here shortly, and they are going to be programmed, and then we'll roll them out to you guys, I think, shortly. I don't know exactly what the timeline is for all that, but
they were ordered. It would be nice to shed some of this paper.
Yeah.
And print out only what you need.
Getting used to for me. As we were saying, some people will be more comfortable still with paper, but
yeah.
But if and it's a generational thing, I think, too.
Yeah,
we'll get used to it, but sometimes we will need.
Everything I do, people go, "This never does that." Sorry.
The first week I was here, I went through like 3 computers, and actually one of them was smoking.
But we talked about it at the meeting, and 2 weeks later, the chairman asked what was happening.
Pretty impressive, right?
That's
we have some pull. Any new business?
I think we've covered everything that I know of.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
It's 7:16.
And